All right, ready for another deep dive? Today we're tackling workplace inspections.
Oh, sounds intense.
But don't worry, we're zeroing in on one specific area.
Okay, I'm listening.
The strain your employees go through with all that pushing and pulling on the job.
You know, it's funny, it's something so basic,
Yeah.
but those everyday actions, they can really take a toll over time.
They can. And to guide us, we've got this really interesting document.
Ooh, what is it?
A base inspecting module. Or BIM for short. It's basically like a,
Like a playbook.
yeah, exactly, like a playbook for those Dutch labor inspectors,
Interesting.
showing what they're looking for when they come knocking.
Makes sense. I guess every country has something like this.
Right, and it's all in Dutch, but the safety ideas apply globally.
For sure.
So this particular one, it's all about physique belasting from doen and trekken.
That's a
I
mouthful.
know, right? For us non-Dutch speakers, that means physical strain from pushing and pulling.
Okay, that makes more sense.
So it was made for internal use by the InspecTSEW, their version of OSHA, you know.
Gotcha.
And it's based on those industry standards as of January 17th, 2011.
So a bit old, but still relevant.
Oh, absolutely. Those core principles, they don't really change that much.
That's true.
So imagine this, you're an employer, inspection's coming up, what are you thinking?
Oh, I'd be nervous for
What are
sure.
those inspectors going to be looking for?
Yeah.
That's what we're going to break down today.
Sounds good. Let's do it.
So first things first,
All right.
those inspectors, they're going to be on the lookout for tasks involving heavy pushing or pulling.
Makes sense. Right.
But it's not just about catching people red-handed.
Wait, what do you mean?
They're not just looking for someone struggling with a heavy load during the inspection.
Oh, I see.
It's more than that.
So, what else are they looking at?
Certain types of equipment can set off alarm bells for them, even if no one's using them at that moment.
Ah, that makes sense. Like a clue.
Exactly. It's about recognizing the potential for strain.
Okay, so give me an example. What kind of equipment would make them go, This needs a closer look.
Oh, easy. Those rolling containers you see everywhere, warehouses, hospitals, even restaurants.
Right. Those definitely signal potential pushing and pulling.
Right, and I'm guessing those huge vats of liquids you see in factories.
Oh, for sure.
Those would also catch their eye.
Definitely.
Anything designed to hold weight and be moved manually, basically, even things like hospital beds.
Ah, yeah, those can be surprisingly heavy.
Right, so it's not about catching someone in the act,
Yeah.
it's about that potential.
Gotcha. The potential for strain.
Exactly, it's like they're detectives.
Kinda, yeah, looking for clues.
So let's say they see a potential hazard, those rolling containers, heavy vats, whatever it is.
Okay, so they've spotted something.
How do they actually assess the risk? Like, how bad is it?
That's a good question.
They've got this tool, the KIM method, or KIM method for short.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, it's pretty key in these inspections.
So break it down for me. How does this KIM method work?
It's like a, I don't know, a health checkup for tasks.
Okay, interesting analogy.
It's a point system, looking at things like weight, how often the task is done, even the posture.
Wow, so pretty detailed.
They plug it all in and get a score.
Okay, we got a score, but what does it mean?
It's not pass or fail, more like a risk level. They've got three zones, each with a color.
Okay, like a stoplight.
Yeah, kinda.
So green means go.
Green means good, low risk, score below 25.
All right, good to know.
Orange is caution, moderate risk between 25 and 50 points, needs some attention.
Okay, and red.
Red is not where you want to be.
Oh boy.
That's a high risk, score above 50, they're expecting immediate action.
To bring that risk down.
Exactly.
So let's talk action. What can employers actually do? You can't just make heavy stuff disappear.
You're right, you can't. But that's where the Arbetsgenosis strategy comes in.
Try saying that three times fast.
I know, right? Occupational hygiene strategy, it's all about layers of protection.
Okay, I like the sound of that.
So the top layer, the best one, is elimination.
Meaning.
Get rid of the need for pushing and pulling heavy stuff altogether.
Well, that's ideal, but not always possible, right?
You're right. So if you can't eliminate it, you move to substitution.
Substitute with what?
A safer way to do it, instead of pushing carts, maybe use pallet jacks or forklifts.
Right, so we're physically changing how things are done.
Exactly. Engineering controls.
Love that term.
But sometimes, even that's not enough. Then it's administrative controls.
You mean?
How the work is managed,
Yeah.
things like job rotation, limiting exposure time, clear procedures.
So even if you can't change the task itself, you change how it's approached.
Exactly. Smart thinking.
But what if even that's not enough?
That's where our last layer comes in, PPE, our safety net.
Good old PPE.
Things like gloves, back supports, even special shoes.
The last line of defense.
Right, but this whole strategy, it's pushing employers to be proactive. not just rely on PPE.
Yeah, to actually think about those hazards and design them out.
Exactly, to make safety a core part of the work, not just an afterthought.
I like that.
It's about going beyond just checking boxes and saying, hey, we gave them PPE, we're good.
It's about actually caring about the employees.
Exactly. And that's what those Dutch inspectors are looking for, evidence of action.
Not just words.
So we've got the KIM method, the hierarchy of controls. But I'm curious, does this BIM give examples? Like, what do they consider good practices?
It does. It's actually quite practical, yeah. Especially when it comes to carts.
Carts, like for moving stuff.
Exactly, for transporting heavy loads.
Okay.
They've got these six Kurigels, the six cart rules.
Six cart rules, I gotta hear these.
It's like a checklist, you know, make sure your carts are up to par.
I bet every warehouse manager wishes they had these framed on their wall.
Right, so rule number one, it's all about the wheels.
The wheels.
Yeah, are they in good shape? Do they roll smoothly? Right type for the floor? No damage?
Yeah. That makes sense. A wobbly wheel can really mess things up.
It can. It's like trying to push a grocery cart with a wonky wheel. Total back pain waiting to happen.
I can imagine.
Then rule number two, size matters.
Wheel size.
Yep. They recommend at least 12 centimeters in diameter. That's about 4.7 inches.
So bigger wheels are better.
Generally, yeah, they roll easier, especially over bumps and stuff.
Less strain on the worker.
Exactly. So we've got wheel quality, wheel size.
Okay, what's next?
Rule number three, weight limits.
Oh, of course.
They recommend a max of 300 kilograms for manually moved carts.
That's about 660 pounds.
Yeah, going over that really increases the risk of injury, like lifting too much weight at the gym.
You're going to hurt yourself.
Exactly.
So it's not just about the cart itself, but what you put on it.
Right, got to be mindful of that total weight.
Okay, rule number four, I'm sensing a theme here.
You're catching on. Rule number four is about the floor itself.
The floor.
Yeah. Is it smooth, level, no cracks or bumps?
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. You don't want to be pushing a heavy cart over a bunch of obstacles.
It's like an obstacle course for your back.
Exactly. So smooth sailing for those carts.
As much as possible, right?
Okay. What about doorways, tight spaces, all that?
That's rule number five, a clear pathway.
Ah, so no clutter in the aisles.
Right. You don't want workers squeezing through tight spots or having to maneuver awkwardly.
That's asking for trouble.
It is.
Okay, so we've got five rules. Good wheels, right size, weight limits, smooth floor, clear path.
What could number six possibly be?
I'm dying to know.
Rule number six brings it back to the worker, those handles.
The handles.
Yeah, they need to be properly placed and ideally adjustable.
Adjustable.
Because if the handle is too high or too low, it forces bad posture, you know, strain on the back, shoulders, arms.
I'm trying to work at a desk that's the wrong height.
Exactly. One size doesn't fit all. Adjustability is key.
Gotcha. So those are the six cart commandments.
The golden rules of cart safety.
But it's not just about carts, right? What about other equipment?
Of course, the BIM mentions that too. Any equipment used for pushing and pulling.
The pallet jacks, dollies, all that.
Got it. They need to be maintained in good working order, just like those carts.
Makes sense. A broken wheel is a broken wheel, no matter what it's attached to.
Exactly. So it's about that overall awareness.
But even with the best equipment, wouldn't you say worker awareness is still key?
Oh, absolutely. The BIM is very clear about that. Worker training is crucial.
It's not just about the tools. It's about knowing how to use them.
Right. What good is a pallet jack if you don't know how to operate it safely?
So what does the BIM say about training specifically?
Well, first off, workers need to understand the risks.
Risks of what?
Of pushing and pulling heavy stuff. It's not just back injuries, it's shoulders, arms, wrists, even legs.
Wow, I never thought about it like that.
It's about connecting those dots, you know, even if you don't feel pain right away.
So they need to understand the potential impact on their body.
Right, and the training should also be specific to their job.
What do you mean?
Like, someone in a warehouse faces different challenges than someone in a hospital.
Even though they're both moving heavy things.
Exactly. So the training needs to be relevant, not just some generic safety lecture.
Makes sense. The more relevant it is, the more likely they are to remember it.
And, of course, they need to know how to use the equipment properly.
Right. So they don't turn a helpful tool into a hazard.
Exactly. A pallet jack can be a lifesaver, but only if used correctly.
So training on the specific equipment they'll be using.
Yeah, and then there's technique.
Technique.
Yeah.
For pushing and pulling.
Oh, yeah. There's a right way and a wrong way to do it.
Like lifting weights.
Exactly. You got to use your body efficiently, keep your back straight, use your legs, no sudden movements.
Otherwise, you're just asking for an injury.
Right. And the BIM also stresses communication and teamwork.
Teamwork.
If something's too heavy, ask for help.
No shame in that.
Nope. It's better to be safe than sorry.
So it's about fostering a culture of safety.
Exactly, where everyone looks out for each other.
And that ties back to being proactive, like we talked about before.
It does. It's about making safety a core part of the work environment.
Not just a bunch of rules on paper.
Right. It's got to be a mindset.
And that's what those inspectors are really looking for, that mindset, that commitment.
They want to see that you've not only thought about these risks, but that you're actively doing something about them.
Okay, so we've covered a lot about what those inspectors are looking for.
Right.
But what about the actual inspection? Like, what happens when they show up?
It's like a detective show, gathering evidence.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
The BIM actually has a list of questions they're likely to ask.
Oh, this is good. Give me an example.
Okay, one of the first ones is, are there any tasks being performed that involve manually pushing or pulling heavy objects?
Seems pretty straightforward.
It is, but it highlights that they're not just looking for what's happening right then.
So they might see a cart and ask about it, even if no one's using it at that moment.
Exactly. It's about that potential again.
Gotcha. They want to know that you've thought about those risks, even if they're not immediately visible.
Right. So be prepared to talk about those tasks, even if no one's pushing or pulling anything during the inspection.
Okay. What other kinds of questions do they ask?
Well, another one is, are health and safety standards being exceeded?
Ah, that's where the KIM method comes in.
You got this question is all about those risk scores.
Green, orange, red.
They want to know if you've done the assessments and if you're addressing those orange and red zones.
So it's not enough to just say, yeah, we did the KIM assessments. You got to show them what you're doing about those risks.
Exactly. Documentation is key. Show them you're not just going through the motions.
Okay, and what about those control measures, the hierarchy of controls we talked about?
They've got a question for that, too.
Oh, they think of everything.
They might ask, have sufficient and effective measures been taken to prevent or limit physical strain from pushing and pulling?
That's a pretty broad one.
It is, but it gets to the heart of it, that occupational hygiene strategy.
So they want to see those top layers, elimination and substitution, if possible.
Right. Have you engineered those hazards out?
And if not, what about those lower layers, administrative controls, PBE?
It's all about showing them you understand those layers and that you're applying them in your workplace.
So paint a clear picture of what you're doing.
And of course, we can't forget about training.
Right, worker training, that's got to be a big one.
It is. They'll want to know, are employees aware of the health risks associated with pushing and pulling? And do they know how to use the equipment properly?
So it's not just, did you provide training? It's, did the training actually sink in?
Exactly. They want to see knowledge and awareness among the workers.
So they might even quiz the employees directly.
They could, or observe them working to see if those techniques are being used.
It's about more than just ticking boxes. It's about that safety culture.
Where workers are actively involved, they're not just following orders. They're thinking about safety, too.
So they feel empowered to speak up.
Right. If something feels off, they should say something.
That's a good sign if workers feel comfortable doing that.
It is. It means that safety is truly valued in that workplace.
Okay, we've talked about the questions, but what about proof? Like, what kind of documents do they want to see?
Good question. The BIM specifically mentions a few key documents.
Right.
Top of the list is the Risk Inventory and Evaluation, or I.
RE. Got it.
It's basically a master list of hazards.
All the things that could go wrong.
Right. And for pushing and pulling, it should identify those specific tasks, the risks, and the control measures you've put in place.
So it shows that you've thought about those hazards and how to address them.
Exactly. Proactive risk management.
And those KIM assessments, they'd be a part of this RAA, right?
They would. They're like the evidence that backs up your safety plan.
Showing those risk scores and how they informed your decisions.
Exactly. But there's another document, too, the Plan of Action, or PLVA.
Plan of Action, what's that?
It's like the how-to guide for addressing those risks from the R.
So if the RAA says, hey, this task is high risk, the PLVA says, here's how we're fixing it.
Precisely. Moving from identification to action.
And this Plan of Action, it shouldn't just be a static document, right?
No, it should be reviewed and updated regularly.
As things change, new equipment, new processes, feedback from workers.
All of that can impact your safety plan.
So it's a living document, constantly evolving.
That's the idea. It shows that you're staying on top of things.
So the RIE and the PLVA, they work together.
They do, like two sides of the same coin.
One identifies the hazards, the other lays out the solutions.
And having those documents ready to go shows those inspectors that you're organized prepared.
not just scrambling when they show up.
It builds confidence, like, hey, these guys have got their act together.
Okay, RIE, PLVA, what else? I'm guessing training records are pretty important.
You bet. Those inspectors want to see proof of training.
So sign-in sheets, copies of training materials, that kind of thing.
Exactly. You need to be able to show who attended, what they learned, when it happened.
So it's not just, did you offer training? Mm-hmm. It's, did they actually participate and learn something?
Right. And these records can be helpful for you, too, as an employer.
How so?
You can track the effectiveness of your training, see if you need to offer more in certain areas.
It's a feedback loop, helping you constantly improve.
Exactly. It's not just about compliance. It's about that continuous improvement.
So it's about using those documents not just to satisfy the inspectors,
but also as a tool for making your workplace safer.
It's a win-win.
Exactly. So far, we've talked a lot about what inspectors are looking for, those practical things, the documents.
Right.
But there's another layer to this.
What's that?
The legal side of things.
Oh, right. We can't forget about the law.
It's important to understand why these inspections happen in the first place and what happens if you don't meet the standards.
What are the consequences?
That's what we'll explore in the next part of our deep dive.
Okay. I'm ready to dive into that legal landscape.
All
right. Back for the final stretch of our deep dive. And we're diving right into the legal stuff.
The nitty-gritty, right.
Exactly. We've talked about what those inspectors are looking for,
right.
But what's the law behind it all?
What gives them the authority to do all this?
Right. What's the legal foundation for these inspections in the Netherlands?
Well, it all comes back to the Arbeidsluit.
Arbeidsluit. That's a new one.
It's the Working Conditions Decree, basically their big workplace safety law.
Okay, the big boss law.
Yeah, and the BIM we've been talking about, it actually comes from specific articles in this decree.
So the BIM is like a subset of the Arbeidsluit.
Exactly. It breaks down specific requirements for pushing and pulling hazards.
I gotcha. So which articles are we talking about here?
Articles 5.1 through 5.6.
5.1 to 5.6. Got it. And what do those articles actually say?
They spell out the employer's responsibilities.
Like what? Give me the highlights.
Things like preventing and controlling risks, doing those risk assessments, providing training.
So it's all about making sure the workplace is safe for employees.
Exactly. And these articles, they're not just suggestions, they're the law.
So the inspectors are enforcing the Arbeidsluit.
That's right. They have the authority to check if those articles are being followed.
And if they're not, what happens then? What are the consequences?
Well, it depends on how serious the violation is.
Okay, walk me through it. What are their options?
One option is an ICE, basically a formal order to fix the problem.
Okay, so a warning with a deadline.
Right, get it fixed or else.
And if they ignore the ICE,
then it can escalate to a WA, a more serious warning.
What's the difference?
A WA can come with fines and penalties.
So there's some real financial bite there.
Yeah, it gets their attention.
Okay, ICE, WA. Anything else?
For really bad violations, they might issue a B500-2000-001.
That sounds serious.
It is. That one means hefty fines, maybe even legal action.
Wow. So ignoring these hazards can really come back to bite you.
It can. And that's why this BIM is so valuable. It helps organizations understand what's expected of them.
So they can avoid those penalties.
Exactly. It's all about being proactive, building a culture of safety.
Not just reacting when the inspectors show up.
Right. It's got to be ingrained in how you operate.
Well, this whole deep dive has been fascinating.
It has. We've covered a lot.
From those everyday hazards to the KIM method, the hierarchy of controls, even those six cart rules.
And now the legal framework, it's all connected.
It is. And it all comes back to creating a safer workplace.
Protecting those workers from preventable injuries.
Couldn't have said it better myself. So any final thoughts before we wrap things up?
Don't wait for that inspection notice to start thinking about safety.
Start today.
Use this BIM as a guide. Even if you're not in the Netherlands, those principles, they're universal.
Make safety a habit, not a chore.
Awesome.
All right, that's a wrap on our deep dive into workplace inspections and those pushing and pulling forces.
Thanks for joining us.
And be sure to check the show notes for more resources and links. Keep learning. Keep those workplaces safe.